of your scripture, please say amen. All right, we got a good amen today. And it reads, it's one scripture, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word of God for the people of God. This week I had the opportunity, for those of you who know I work at a school, to go to Washington, D.C. to do a conference that talks about how to train up children in the way that they should go. Now, I had already been preparing this message, but y'all know how God is, right? He just stamps it for approval on the way to coming to preach it to each and every one of you. And during this time, we were talking about what it means to have a biblical worldview, what it means to make the leap from a public educator to a private school educator or a Christian educator. And there were so many things that were discussed, but they really talked about the head, the heart, and the habits. And how when we give our children the foundation of Jesus Christ, it gets through to their head, it goes to their hearts, and then their habits become Christ-like. And so as I was listening, there were some statistics that he gave us that I thought were really interesting. And he was talking about the cultural loss of Christianity. And he said in 2009, there were 77% who identified as Christians. 10 years later, in 2019, 65% identified as Christians. And then in 2009, 17% were without a religion at all. And then in 2019, 10 years later, 26% identified as without religion. So Christianity's culture is decreasing. People without a religion is increasing. Now, from 2019 to about 2024, it has stabilized a little bit. It's about 62%. Think about the things. I'd like to say that COVID probably had a little bit of a deal with that, because when COVID happened, no one knew where to turn, right? And so maybe we got believers back, maybe, but it stabilized. It didn't really go up and down. It kind of, you know, trended a little bit. Well, then he said something that kind of made me think really hard. And he talked about how in 2015, you know, the society redefined marriage, that it could be a man and a man, a woman and a woman, and that was okay. 2015. And he said, so that means Gen Z, these kids that are, I think it's really 13, they're like 28, but their norm is same-sex marriage or a man and a woman. It's both. When I grew up, it wasn't that so. It was man, woman. That's what it was. And so as I thought about it, my son was born in 2016. So that's all he knows too, as he's starting to see things outside of our home. But I praise God that at our house, we serve a God that gives us the word and how we should live and gives us direction and guidance on how to do that. And so what is Proverbs? What's the purpose of Proverbs? The purpose of Proverbs is to provide instruction. Pastor talked about doctrine. Instruction is what we are to use. And guess what, y'all? We have this Bible that is free knowledge. You got to buy one, but it's free knowledge. And if you don't have the money to do it, there's a YouVersion Bible app on your device. And I know everybody has a device, right? And so we have to just be sure that we are training our children up to become like Christ. And even those who are young adults who maybe didn't have any guidance, and we are the church, it's our responsibility to plant the seed. So train them up. The Hebrew word shanak, or kanak, I think is how it's pronounced, means to dedicate or initiate. This is intentional and it's active. It's something we have to constantly, consistently do. It's not something that we could put over to the side. We're dedicating them every single day. And when I was studying the word of kanak, it talked about how they use this word speaking about a temple or a house. And so the house was establishing identity, inheritance, the family name, legacy, shelter, and covenant. Okay. And then the temple was a sacred place. God's dwelling place, center of worship and sacrifice, symbol of holiness. And so if we are being called to dedicate them and to set them apart from the world, aren't they just as precious, more precious than a house that's dedicated to family, but then symbolized for the dwelling of the Holy Spirit as the temple is? And so a parent's job is not simply to allow them to do whatever they want to do and to not have boundaries or chores or anything, but it is our responsibility to teach them the way of life in the house and outside of the house. My dad would always tell me, when you walk out of the house, you are miles, and this is how you are to behave. And so you better not have nobody coming back to tell me that you've been doing any kind of thing, right? That was the expectation. Where is that expectation today? And so Deuteronomy, if you want to turn with me really quickly, I'm sorry, to Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 7. Let me get there too. Hold on. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Four through seven, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." You should always be talking and teaching about the Lord. Diligently means to earnestly give that to your child. We have to be so intentional, y'all, with how we dedicate our children and who we dedicate them to and how we discipline them and how we initiate them into the Lord in his way. A child needs training. There's not a want or a desire. They need it. If they are born into this world without a parent, they don't have the guidance. So if we are given children as parents, if you're given children by being nieces and nephews, your cousins, your brother, your sister, you have been charged with a responsibility to help train them up in the way that they should go. And that means we set them apart from the world. And that doesn't mean that we don't inform them of what the world's doing or allow them to, or don't talk about what the world's doing. There's no point in keeping that a secret. They're going to be exposed to it. They got tablets. They have all these different things that they, you know, get exposed to things that we don't even know. It's starting to come into the curriculums in the schools. And so it's there. We have teachers that are sharing that. So it's not about knowing that it's out there and shielding them from it, but informing them and teaching them, because you don't want the world to teach them. We have to teach them. And so whether you're here in the building online or watching this a year from now, the message is gonna always be the same. It's not gonna change. Train them up. And so if Proverbs 1:2 says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding," that's what the word is for. That's what this is for. Knowledge and understanding. And then I got ahead of myself a little bit, but Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We have to have encouragement and rebuke. You can't have too much encouragement. "Oh yeah, little Johnny, good job. Oh, it's okay," right? They have to have both, a balance. Encouragement and rebuke. We have to correct them. That's what rebuke is, it's correction. So that whenever they grow up and we die and we go on, they listen to the Lord and his correction, because he will correct them. And so if we don't teach them today on how to obey us as adults, then when they go on, and I tell my son all the time, I am not always going to be here. You have to know right from wrong. You've got to know when it's God and when it's not. And it is so hard to hear. Some of us adults can't even hear God's voice. So if I can teach them, if we can teach them as little babies, when I, Charlie, pastor's grandbaby, that girl knows Jesus. Do you hear me? And she knows the word of God. She prays so profoundly. She knows all of the word. That's how we train our children. We can't wait on somebody else to do it. I don't know why I can't move on, but I need y'all to get the message. Like, we got to train them up. And so when I go back to the scripture, it says encouragement and rebuke must be combined with training and teaching, right? And this says fathers. This is the responsibility of the fathers, not necessarily the mothers. It specifically says fathers. And unfortunately, I just did a quick research, and this breaks my heart, y'all. I could cry because I have such a passion for young men and fathers. And it says that 80% of single parent homes have absent fathers in Texas, just in Texas. 80%, that means 20% has a male father figure in the home. That is a huge statistic, y'all. We got a lot of work to do. But does that mean that if the father is not present, that nobody else can pour into them? Absolutely not. They can get a mentor. I mean, when I got divorced a few years ago, when I was by myself, my father was in my child's life. I took him over there every day. Hey, go talk to your big daddy. Ask him questions. My brother, his uncle. It just needs to be someone who can pour into them the word of God and help train them up to become young men. And the same for us as women, young women. And so it's foundational. But what does that look like, right? What does that look like? In the way they should go. Well, it's not in their own way or their own will, okay? And it's also not in the world's will and what the world wants for them. We know what the world wants for them. The devil is trying to dim them to hell. And we can't allow that. We have to intervene. And so we can't be asleep ourselves. I'm getting ahead of myself again, but we can't be asleep in the word. We can't be asleep in the spirit. We've got to be actively reading our word every single day. But the self-will, pastor talks about this all the time. And he talks about these motivational speeches. Be the best. Don't fail. Your worth is in your success and what you do. But see, Ephesians 2:8-9 says that we are saved by grace, not by our works. And so then there's the world. Do what makes you happy. Put yourself first. If you like girls, that's okay. No. Not if I'm a woman, right? That's not okay. And so we have to make sure, y'all, that we don't allow our children to be impressed by what the world does. I want my kid to know that when he walks out the door, or my children to know when they walk out of the door, what's right and what's wrong. I want them to know what the scripture says. And it's not about me. It's not about me. It's all about the Lord. I want to guide them to heaven, right? I want to guide them and teach them the instruction that they need to have in order to do what they need to do. And guess what they'll do? They'll take that word and they'll pass it to somebody else. I have so many friends that I've been that vessel. I've been the vessel, only the vessel. God has always used me to speak life into my friends and my family. And they are different because of the obedience. And I may have just planted a seed and someone else came along and nurtured it. And then somebody else came along and nurtured it and it grew fruit, right? And so in the commentary I was reading, David Gusick, he stated that there could be two ways that we can look at this going the way, right? So the sense of the Hebrew was the way he should, in the way that he should go, speaks of the child's individual way and inclination. It speaks to discerning a child's strengths and weaknesses and parenting in a way that makes those, takes those into account. So thinking about their strengths and weaknesses, right? I always talk about a friend of mine. She's a great leader, but sometimes she leads the wrong way. But if she could just shift, she would be an amazing leader. I mean, people would follow her. And I mean, all she got to do is talk about Jesus and they will come along. That's how much her personality is just so boisterous and just loving. And so we can be a good leader. We can be a not so good leader, right? And so we have to be sure that if they have those leadership skills, that they're leading people the right way towards the Lord. Okay. And then, you know, their weaknesses, giving their strengths and their weaknesses up to the God so that he can make them fruitful, and giving them to him to bring them out of their hearts and their souls. Trey has this huge thing about homeless people, and he wants to give them everything, like all his money, right? And that's something that the Lord, I promise you, 10 years from now, we'll see, you know, God is going to, he's going to use that, and he's going to build it up, and he's going to make it something big for him. And then we have the second sense is the book of Proverbs presents the way of being the path of wisdom and life in contrast of the way of folly and destruction. So if we look back at verse 4 and 5 in Proverbs 22, Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So Pastor talked about this. When we have the Lord and we're humble and we have just the fear of him, we are rich and wealthy in life. But then it goes on to say, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them. And so if you do the complete opposite, the contrary, then you should be far from the Lord, right? And so then it goes on to say, train up a child. And so I feel like all of this is connected. And it's like, we're going to train him up to have riches and wealth in the Lord or to be poor in spirit, right? And so which one do you want for your children? Which one do you want for your nieces and your nephews and your little people that you get to pour into each and every day? And so, again, we have to get to their heads so we can get to their hearts and then get to their hands. And so then there's the promise of perseverance. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Life is going to test them, y'all. There's no question about it. Life tests us every single day. And so think about whatever child or whatever young adult you can think of in your mind that you're connected to. And think about how life tests them every day. Even our little kids, they're tested. And how they can decide how they respond. If we have children who throw fits all the time and we don't teach them how to regulate their emotions, guess what they're going to do when they're an adult? They're going to throw a fit. This quote is so good. It says, the seeds of faith planted in childhood often bear fruit in adulthood, even if there's a wandering season. And so what we plant right now, in these babies' hearts. And so I take such honor in being able to teach the children in children's church and just get their minds going and their brains working. And like when we plant those seeds in their hearts, eventually we're going to see the fruit. And so over time, you're going to see the fruit of these babies that we have here at Christ Unveiled. And you're going to start seeing it grow. And is it going to be good fruit? Is it going to be bad fruit? And we want to teach the good fruit, right? We want to give them the word of God. And so we have to just be intentional, y'all. We got to be intentional with planting those in each and every one of our kids. And I mean, any kid that you see, any kid that you know that may be in trouble, any young adult who maybe has no guidance. My dad used to tell my nieces and nephews, he said, hey, when they got about teenagers, read Proverbs 31 or Proverbs 1 through 31. Pick a month, and every day of that month, you read a chapter. It's wisdom. There's instruction in there. I still do it sometimes. It's not just for children, it's for everybody. And so if you're seeking wisdom, if you need wisdom, regardless of your age, then you go to that book, Wisdom and Instruction. And he'll tell you, and it hurts, some of it. But it hurts so bad that it feels good because it's growing and stretching us. And so we always just have to remember that when the prodigal son strayed away, he came back and was welcomed with such love, such joy. His dad got the fat calf out for him. And so if you are here today, or if you're online, and let's say you've strayed away, you've wandered away. Maybe you didn't have the proper training. That doesn't mean that you can't come. Come back to the Lord, or come to the Lord if it's your first time. And let him do the work in you. He's not done with any one of us. He's not finished. if we are still breathing breath, if we still have air to breathe and we're here with our eyes and our ears and we can do all these different things, God is not done with us. He's still working on our hearts and our minds, but he just wants us to be obedient. He wants us to come back, and he will welcome you with open arms, and he'll hug you tight, and he'll tell you how much he loves you, because how many of you know that the creator of the world loves us more than we could ever imagine? He is the great God that formed you in your mother's womb. He took his hands and put the clay together, and he made you intricately how you are. He gave you gifts that you should use to edify the body of Christ. And so as we learn more about ourselves and we learn more about our walk with Christ, we pass it on. We don't keep it to ourselves. I preached a message a couple of years ago, and I used to run track, and I ran the 4x2, a relay is what I'm trying to get to, a relay. It doesn't matter what I ran. And you know, when you're running and you're trying to pass it to the next person, you say, "Stick," and you pass it off, right? And so as I'm preaching this and I'm getting ready to finish up, the Lord put that back in my heart. And he said, at some point, we got to pass it, y'all, to the next generation. And we have to train them up. And when our race is getting ready to be over, as Paul was telling Timothy, and he was getting him ready to take the word on, we have to yell out, "Stick!" And we got to pray and hope that they're there to reach back and grab the baton and run on to finish. And then one day, they'll be running and their time will be getting ready to fall. And the next generation will say, "Stick!" And they'll pass it on. This is not just the responsibility of the parents. It's the church. It's the school. It's the community. It is any person who is connected to a child, a young adult. It does not matter. We have to pass on the word of God. I am crying because I'm so passionate about teaching kids the word, because they are the next generation. I might have the president, you know, in my classroom if Jesus don't come back first, right? But we got to get them ready. And so I want to read this. This is so good, y'all. First, two scriptures. The first one is Matthew 19:14. It says, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." He equates them to the kingdom of heaven. That's how important they are. So we got to protect them at all cost. We got to pour into them at all cost. Whatever sacrifices we have to make, we have to do our job. We can't be too tired. Psalms 127:3-4 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." And in David Gusick's commentary, he said, "They must be carefully shaped and formed, children, such as an arrow. They must be guided with skill and strength." Remember when you pull it back, right? "They must be given care or they will not fly straight. They must be aimed and given direction. They will not find direction on their own. They are, in some respects, launched only one time. They are an extension of the warrior's strength and accomplishment. You are the warrior. They have potential for much good and evil. And the last thing, we shall see them shot forth into life to our comfort and delight, if we take care of them from the very beginning, that they are directed to the right point." And that's Spurgeon. So my challenge for you, I'm a teacher, so I give homework. I'm an administrator, but I encourage homework. And my challenge for you is to find one young person this week. One young person, and explore what their thoughts and their direction is about Jesus Christ. Do they know them? It's okay if it's your kid. I'm fine with that. But I assume if you go to church here, they've heard about Jesus. But those of you online as well, anyone who's younger than you, if you're a young adult and you don't have kids, find a young person and ask them, do they know him? And I'm serious. Is there, y'all gonna accept the challenge? It's our charge. We have to disciple these kids. We have to create disciples to go out into the world just like Jesus did. He told his disciples to go out to the world and do what? Make disciples and share the gospel. But if they don't know the gospel, how can they share it? And so it is our duty, y'all. Everyone in this room, everyone online watching this, it's our duty to train our children up in the way that they should go. I'll leave you with this. When we think about the transformation of our hearts when we come to Christ, they talked about this little boy who was about 3 years old who needed a new heart. They prayed for him. And over time, little Mikey got a new heart. And he was sitting there and they showed us a picture of him holding his old heart in his hand. And so I want you to think about your children in the spirit realm, taking their old hearts, because we're all born into sin, taking it out of their chest and allowing God to do this open heart surgery to give them a new heart in the Lord, renewing their mind that will then renew their heart and create new habits. And then them giving that old heart up to God and leaving it there and walking away changed and new. That is the word that God brought to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, just for who you are, Jesus. We thank you that you have given us this charge to disciple children, Lord, to train them up in the way that they should go. That when they grow old, Lord, that they would not depart from your word, that they would not depart from you, God, that they would learn how to hear your voice, to hear it clearly, God, and to know which way to go, oh God. And God, as you deal with us, who is the guider, the person you put that on earth, Lord God, in order to help give this word over to them, that you would put our hearts and our minds and our hands in alignment with you and your work, Jesus, and what you have called us to do, Lord. Each and every one of us has a different calling, God. And I just pray that you would take your time with us, Lord, and that everything that you teach us, God, that we would pour it into somebody else, pour it into these children, pour it into a young adult, Lord God, whoever needs it, God. And we pray for fathers to do their will, Lord God, and to lead and instruct their children, God, in the name of Jesus. And most importantly, Lord, that when the time does come for you to come get us, Lord, that every knee will bow, whether they want to or not, Lord. But we pray that the people that we touch, God, even if we just plant a seed, the people that we touch, Lord, would be there, God, to be resurrected with you. That's what we're here for. So God, as you deal with us, Lord, help us to move whatever it is out of the way. The hurt, the pain, whatever it is, God, move it out of the way, Lord, so that we could be free in you, to be obedient to you, to walk in the way that you've called us to walk, Lord, and to finish this race strong, yelling out, stick. God, we love you. We honor you in your name, Lord. We edify you, God. And we thank you, Lord, just for who you are. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this message. We thank you for this reminder that we all have a part to play, Lord. That though we might never stand on stage and preach, Father, we are all called to preach, Father. We are all called to reach somebody for you. And that somebody does involve the young ones. So, Father, we just thank you for this message. We thank you for this word. We thank you for the wisdom that came forth. Help us to be people that practice what we've heard. And help us to truly reach out to the young ones. Father, we thank you and we give you all the praise and glory. Amen. 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 Thank you for that word. Amen. Amen. So real quick, we're going to go ahead and worship and give. And so you guys know how to give several ways. If you're online as well, you can definitely scroll down and hit the donate button as well. And you can text to give and all that good stuff. And last but not least, we do have the Gospel of John commentary. So if you ordered it last week, it ships on Monday. So, you should be getting that soon. Also, this Friday is the first Friday of the month. So we're going to have our midnight prayer, Ignite. And we pray from about 10 p.m. to midnight. Now, of course, I know that, you know, that is a holiday, right? But what better way to spend time, on your day off than praying? So please feel free to come out at 10 p.m. on Friday night. We are, we pray. Prayer points are made, and we simply just have a good time in God's presence. So please do feel free to come out on Friday at 10 p.m. Amen. All right. Well, with that being said, please rise and I'll pray us out and you are dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your presence. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the wisdom that went forth, Lord. Father, help us to be people that are aware that we are called for such a time as this, Lord. Help us not to fall asleep. Help us not to think that it's only the job of the pastor, Lord. But Father, it's our job. We are called to reach those that only we can reach. So, Father, help us to be vigilant. Help us to be present, Father. And help us just to be led by your Spirit, Lord. Because we never know who we might come across that might need you, Father. Father, we just thank you for your word. We love you and we honor you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. You're dismissed.